I'm going to tag this text, God's got your back. I know you're forgetting. Too deep, God got your back. At the time of our text, there is a serious contention between the nation of Syria and the nation of Israel. According to the text, the Syrian king has the desire to make war against the nation of Israel. You must understand that the Bible is unclear as to why the Syrian king wants to fight Israel. Now, can I give you some shout music while I'm in my introduction? You know, the truth of the matter is that our haters never really need a reason to hate. If you would just look at the text, the Bible will have us to know that the Syrian king, the enemy, decided that he was going to allow his troops to go up against the army of Israel. And when you look at the tail of the tape, when you look at these two nations, you will discover that the nation of Israel on paper could literally be no match for the nation of Syria. I know they sound like a history lesson, but just stay with me. I'm going to get there. In research, you will discover that the Syrian army was considered the most modern military of that day. They had the latest weapons. They had the ability to gather information on the enemy. As a matter of fact, research will have us to know that they were a multifaceted army. They had the ability, depending on the size of the army of the enemy they were going up against, they had the ability to be small as a raiding party, but they also had the ability, depending on the size of the enemy, to be large as a 100,000 member force that was fully equipped with horses and chariots. However, church, you must understand that they were going up against the Israeli army, who really wasn't a military at all. It was a group of civilians that would just show up ready to fight. They had no military training. They had no prior experience. They had no military strategy or strategists. They would just show up ready to fight. Some of y'all show up to church ready to fight for the wrong reason. I'm going to leave that alone before I won't get invited back. But they would show up ready to fight. As a matter of fact, research will have you to know that they were farmers and not fighters. They had no military background. And so when you look at it on paper, we have the Syrian army, who was a mighty army, but they was going up against this group who had no formal training at all. They just showed up ready to fight. When you look at this thing, church, it's strange. Because when you look at the text, you notice that every time the Syrian army got ready to fight or attack Israel, they could never defeat them. Y'all don't know when to shout. That's amazing, because I just told you that the Israeli army was right for the picking. They was right to be beat. They was right to lose. But every time the Syrian army got ready to attack the Israeli army, they could never defeat them, because Israel always stayed one step ahead of the enemy. Oh, man. And I thought about this thing, and I began to praise God, because when you look at this thing, the only thing that Israel had going for them was the fact that God had their back. Yeah. And that's some of the things that we possess everything in the world. We can have all the money in the world, but if God ain't got your back, if you don't have no relationship with God, you have nothing. Because you must understand that without God, you can do nothing. But with God, you can do anything but fail. Yeah, they could never defeat them, because the Israeli army always stayed one step ahead of the enemy. Yeah, and I wanted to pause here to share with somebody that whenever God has your back, you got to know that you plus God is automatically the majority. You see, some of y'all like this military terminology. You say, well, it's more of us than it is with them. Listen, it don't matter who for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? That's why I've learned that I'd rather have Negroes mad with me every day than to have the Lord mad with me. Because I understand that I get my divine instructions from the Lord. I don't get them from man. And I hear some of y'all talking. Well, the preacher's just a man. I'm just a man. See, the difference between you and the preacher been sent. You just got your pants on. He been sent. He has sent pants. And y'all get on my last nerve with this. You call yourself a preacher. Every time the preacher don't do what you want him to do or respond how you think he should respond, the first thing you do is say, and you call yourself a preacher. Negro, please. I'm God's preacher. I'm not your preacher. I'm tired of it. Yeah. Talking about you a preacher, the Lord gonna get you. Let me tell you something. The preacher's held to a higher standard of calling because he teaches and preaches the word. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But if you're gonna get the scripture right, baby, you gotta come correct with me. Yeah. The scripture says that we all will be judged the same. Whether you're a preacher or a pew member, you all gonna be judged the same. Yeah. Y'all, that's why I had a problem when I first started preaching and I was dating. Time the girl get mad at me, the first thing she said, you call yourself a preacher. I knew then it was time for me to leave that sister alone. You see, you got to learn how to give God praise because there are times in your life that you thought you were not going to make it. There were times in your life that you thought you would be defeated, but you got to give God praise because God always kept you one step ahead of the enemy. You do know the very folk that text you and talk to you and say, I'm praying for you can be praying on you. Oh, yeah. Be careful. Be careful who you let pray for you. And sometimes you just need to pray for yourself. Because if your prayers are to mean anything to God, they must first mean everything to you. Yeah. Let me hurry up and go. Y'all ain't gonna want me back. But you got to understand, listen, that the enemy could never defeat them because I just told you Israel was always one step ahead of the enemy. And when you look at verse number 11, the Bible will have us to know that the king of Syria is mad. He's frustrated because he can't seem to get his hands on the enemy because they always stayed one step ahead of them. Because what you got to understand that they were receiving divine intervention from somebody. The Bible will have us to know, listen, that the king of Israel, listen, is connected to somebody who knew the Lord. Every time the king of Syria would come up with strategies, God would always intercept those thoughts and transmit the thoughts to Elijah, and Elijah would go and tell the king of Israel. So by the time the king of Syria got ready to attack, they could never attack them because they were always one step ahead of the enemy. You see, listen, see, y'all should have been shouting. If I was at the church down the street, they'd be shouting. See, you got to praise God because whenever God decides he's going to bless you, whoever he got to move out the way, he'll do just that. You know, some folk think that the Lord can't bless you unless they for you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's not the truth. God is not a respecter of person. And when God get ready to bless you, he's going to bless you. And if he got to bless you right in the midst of them negative Negroes, he'll do it. I don't need you in my corner for God to bless me. I got a strong enough connection. I'm like AT&T. I got all my bars. I got a good signal to heaven. I can get down on my knees and reach heaven. Now y'all gonna make me preach. I gotta get finished. It is now that the king of Syria learns that Elijah is the one leaking information to the king of Israel. The text says, the moment he discovers this, his anger is now diverted from the king of Israel, and now it has been put on the prophet of God. The text says that he put a hit list out on Elisha. It's in your Bible, in case you hadn't tore it out. He puts a beware sign out on Elijah. The text says he put a hit list out on Elijah. The Bible says they come back and they say to him that Elijah is in Dothan. The text says that all of a sudden, Elijah is surrounded by the adversary. The text says around verse 15 that Elijah receives information that the king of Syria has surrounded his city. Pay attention. When you look at it, it looks like Elijah is out of options. It looks like his back is up against the wall. It looks like he's in total position to be taken into possession by the enemy. But listen, but nowhere in the text that is alludes to the fact that Elijah was worried. Nowhere in the text that it says that Elijah had some sleepless nights because he knew that the Lord had his back. And you got to know that he wasn't worried about the enemy because he knew something before the enemy even showed up. And that was the fact that the Lord was on his side. I ain't come to work this hard. I really didn't. Listen, regardless of your situation or what you're going up against or what opposition you may find yourself up against, regardless of what you're going through, you got to know that God has your back. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's irrelevant what you're going up against. I mean, hell can be across the street, but when God has your back, you'll keep praising God because you know that no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. Y'all looking at me mighty strange. Elijah knows that God has his back. And because Elijah knew God was there, there are a few things in the text that impresses me about Elijah. I was still in the introduction. The first thing that impresses me about Elijah around verse 15 and 16 was Elijah's confidence in the sovereign's presence. When you look at verse number 15, Elijah knew the enemy was there. But he also knew God was there. He knew the enemy was present, and he also knew God was present. Because when you look at it, he did not allow, and this is so deep you're going to need a shovel, he did not allow the confirmation of the enemy's plans to shake his confidence in God. You must understand that the confirmation of bad news didn't mess up his confidence. And often there are times in our life that we allow the confirmation of bad news to cut off our confidence. You got to know that your confidence is not in the confirmation, but your confidence is in your connection. You got to know that when you are connected to God, you are connected. Who you are connected to is greater than what you are confronted with. Oh, Lord. It ought to be somebody here who can give God praise, because you know your connection is greater than what you are confronted with. And our problem is we put more trust in the what than we do in the who. We spend too much time telling the who about our what when we should be telling the what about our who. You around here throwing a pity party. When the student loan folk call your butt, just start praying. Get that when you get home. You got to learn how to give them praise. Even when the enemy thought they had you, you knew your connection was greater than what you heard. You know, some people counted you out a long time ago. They said you wasn't going to make it. But you ought to give God praise that you're able to dance and shout in the enemy's face. Yeah, they counted you out. And you better believe some folks still count you out because they know what you used to be. Yeah. Negroes kill me with that too. Yeah. Want to remind you of what you used to be. Yeah. Everybody here, ex-something. Yeah. And you better start clapping or saying amen, because I'm going to take the ex off. Yeah. Yes. Some of us still in it. Now in verse number 15, Elijah receives confirmation that the enemy is coming. But in verse number 16, Elijah has confidence. It says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Message Bible says, don't worry about it, because it's more on our side than it is on their side. Living Bible says, don't be afraid, for our army is bigger than their army. New International Version says, don't be afraid, because those that are with us are more than those that be with them. This one hadn't came out yet, but keep looking for it. It's my version. It just simply says, stop tripping. God got you covered. Touch somebody and say, the battle don't belongs to you. It belongs to the Lord. Elijah's confidence is born out of his connection to God. You see, people who are connected to him are always confident in him. And whenever you are worried about the outcome, maybe it's because you don't have a strong enough connection. Y'all get that when you get home. In the text, not only do we see Elijah's confidence in God's presence, but we also see his concern for his servant's perception. Watch the text. Elijah has a concern, because he is connected to somebody that can't see like him. Elijah has a servant. Okay. The pastor has a member who is spiritually blind. Listen, this is amazing, because this is his servant, which means if this is his servant, he spent time with Elisha. I mean, he's been hanging out with Elijah, but this is strange, because he's in the vicinity of the prophet, but he don't have the vision of the prophet. Listen, just because you are around people don't mean that they can see like you. And one of the worst mistakes you can make It's the partner with folk that can't see. I know some of y'all saying, boy, you've been here 3-4 times. You really don't know me. These my friends. I went to school with them, but the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. Listen, you shouldn't be trying to hook up with nobody that ain't going nowhere. You need to stop hanging around them folk that every time you decide to do something, they tell you, "Girl, you think you can do that? You can't do that." You need to hang around folk that say, "If you gonna do it, I'm gonna help you to do it." You need to hang around some folk that say, "Girl, if you gonna do it, I'm gonna help you reach your goal." You need to hang around folk who say, "I'm calling those things that are not as though they already were." Gotta learn how to hook up with the right people. I don't care nothing about you with the school with them. They don't make them the right people. I don't care nothing about you work with them every day. They don't make them the right people. Lord have mercy. You need to hang around folk who can help you get to where God wants you to be. Listen, if there's ever going to be victory, the volunteer and the visionary have to see the vision. The quickest way for a vision to vanish is when the volunteer and the visionary don't have the same perception. But you got to understand that is frustrating trying to lead folk that can't see. It's frustrating trying to teach people who can't see, because every time the pastor comes up with something, we got one or two of y'all saying, "I don't see it, Reb. I don't see it, Reb. But the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. You're not supposed to see it. Look at somebody and tell them, get your eye vision right. Talking about what you don't see. You don't see it because he didn't give you the vision. He says, I'm trying to get done. He says, "Lord, deliver me from sightless sights." He says in verse 17, "Deliver me from a visionless volunteer." He says, "Lord, open his eyes that he might see." Not only do we see the confidence in the sovereign presence, we see his concern for his servant's perception, but lastly, we see the capability of showing godly pity. It's going to make sense. Just look at the text. The text says the enemy decides to attack Elisha. It's going to get good now. And the moment that they come to pursue him, Elisha starts praying. Some of y'all will be in your group chat. Some of y'all will be on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, talking about, "They got me." But notice what Elijah does. He starts praying. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, now what you got to understand, this is deep, is that a good prayer would beat a good plot any day. So you got a lot of folk doing a whole lot of plotting. You just keep praying. And they're going to have to get really creative to keep coming up with all these plots without showing their hand. Yeah. Listen, the enemy is approaching on foot. I'm trying to get down. But Elijah appears to God on his knees. The text says, Elijah prays, Lord, smite them with blindness. The text says the Lord smites them with blindness according to the word is in your Bibles, in case you hadn't tore it out. And the text says that the moment the enemy becomes blind, the king of Israel goes to Elijah saying, let us get him now. Of us, ain't it? We can get them now. They blind. They can't see. Let's get them. You know, we love to kick a man when he down. They blind. They can't see. We can defeat them now. But Elijah says no. And I know some of y'all wondering why Elijah said no. Because you've been trying to get your enemy back. But Elijah said, we're not going to do to them what they've been trying to do to us. See, you ought to give God praise, because while your enemies are trying to get you, you can bless your enemy by going to God on your knees. Turn and tell that person beside you, stop trying to figure out how you're going to get them back. Some of y'all came to church this morning trying to figure out how you're going to get that Negro back that you left at home. He should have brought you to church. You shouldn't have left him at home. Yeah. We trying to figure out how we going to get him back. That's why the Lord says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. All you got to do is just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I know you've been trying to get your enemy back. But you got to learn how to put it in the hands of the Lord. That's what I'm going to close with today, by telling you, regardless of what comes your way, you got to learn how to turn it over to the Lord. There ought to be somebody here today that can be a witnessing warrior and a testifying soldier. And you can admit today that problem that I had, that I couldn't seem to solve. I tried and I tried. And I kept on getting deeper involved. But you know what I did? I turned it over to the Lord. And somebody know he worked it out. So God bless you today, New Jerusalem. But if there's anybody in here who can encourage your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know what it is, but you got to give it to the Lord. I got to let y'all go, but there was a story about a little boy. A little boy went to the candy store with his mama. When they got in the candy store, they got to the register. And the owner of the candy store said, son, stick your hand in the jar and get you some candy. The little boy refused to do it. He embarrassed his mama. And this little boy was African American. You don't embarrass your mama. And she said, boy, didn't he tell you to stick your hand in the jar and get you some candy? She said, he said, yes. He said, stick your hand in the jar. He refused to stick his hand in this jar. And so the owner of the store got his hand and stuck his hand in the jar and gave the little boy some candy. And when they got home, his mother took the belt out. Y'all know what time it is. She said, son, why? When Mr. Johnny told you to get the candy out the jar, you wouldn't do it. The little boy looked at his mama and said, mama, when I looked at my hands, and when I looked at his hands, I discovered that his hands were so much bigger than mine. So I let him put his hand in the jar and give me some candy. You see, whatever you put in the hands of the Lord, his hands are way bigger than your hands. That's why the old church used to sing a song that says he's got the whole world in his hand. He got you and me, brother, in his hand. He got everything in his hand. Look at whose hand you put it in.